The Floor Academy podcast is sponsored by Trilama, the trade labor marketplace, where businesses can find skilled trade labor, such as flooring installers, and where flooring installers and other skilled tradespeople can find permanent or project work. You can set up your profile at Trilama.com, TRALAMA.com, or download the app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. And remember, Trilama is always free for skilled tradespeople. Welcome to the Floor Academy podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hedin, owner of Illustrious Hardwoods in Phoenix, Arizona. We're here talking to flooring professionals from all across the country about the issues that matter to you. I want to encourage you to learn while you earn. This week's guest is Ken Ballin. Ken owns and operates Skyro Floors in West Creek, New Jersey. If there is a topic that is discussed to death online, it is estimates. So Ken and I decided to tackle the subject and weigh in on different options of how to get to your bottom line number. Should it be itemized? A total sum only? Detailed? Listen in to find out why communication matters, why you need to know your numbers, and how your estimates are going to help you win the project. I'm not going to do the usual intro this time. Love them, hate them. You do you on this, but Ken Ballin, welcome to the show again.
Thank you, my friend. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to be allowed to be on because, you know, we made a big deal in November that you hadn't been on all year, and here it is in January, and you're back. So I think I'm supposed to wait longer or something. I don't know.
Well, it's a new year, so it's a reset button. It's a fresh start.
I'll buy that. I also buy that you're the only one out there like, hey, man, this is a good topic. We should talk about it. I'm like, all right. So, you know.
Yeah, man. You know, sometimes there's just some things that, you know, need to be put out there, you know.
I agree. Well, I mean, let's hear your spiel. Let's get that in. Let's wow me with who you are.
Wow you with who I am. Well, if you haven't already been wowed by my excellence.
Oh man. Oh, the head.
I can't
head.
Even say it with a straight face. So I am Ken Ballin. I own Skyro Floors. I am here at the sunny tropical Jersey Shore. I can be found on Facebook and Instagram at Skyro Floors. I'm also a certified flooring installer, 13604, and certified tile installer, 1392.
And if he's not doing floors or showers, and he's not doing the honeydew list, you can find him doing the gym, tanning, or laundry.
That's oh no!
Oh, come on, I haven't local, made one of those jokes, man. I know
that's just on the TV show.
Correct, but I haven't made that joke once, so I got to get it in there.
That's all right. You get your pass.
We get one, folks. I'll throw it out. Luke Miller, you get one, buddy. You better use it well. So let's see. A couple months back, there was a post in some group, maybe FIA, about estimates, and it's a hot topic, right? There's a million ways to skin a cat, and this is one that comes up a lot. So let's dig into writing estimates, writing proposals, communicating with potential clients. There's a lot to dig in here, but there's definitely a couple different ways to go about it, and they can all work. So what do you got for me? Let's lead the.
Well, I mean, I think it comes down to there's a few things. It comes down to communication is big with your customers. A lot of these posts that we see about pricing, how do I price this, how do I price that, and, you know, that can be, regions play a big part in that, because numbers that you might get in my market, you might not get somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that I want to, you know, make clear is that it's not my numbers that you should be trying to match. It's my mindset. You know, mindset is big, and there's nothing wrong with being the highest priced guy in the room if you can back it up.
I agree. I'm not going to match your numbers in my area, but your mindset I did match very early on. When I joined the groups and I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm going to charge more, like, just because I can. But I'm churning out work that I feel justifies it. So why wouldn't I charge more than the next guy? Communication is key, like you said. I'm often told that, you know, because I can communicate clearly and then I do what I say I'm going to do when I say I'm going to do it, that goes a long way. So when I leave an estimate, because I don't do pricing on site, I don't want to sit there for, if it's a big bid, like I don't want to sit there for an hour on my computer in their home and type it all up. I'd rather go home, let it sink in, figure it all out, and I can email it off to them. They can review it later. But for me, I will generally get them off same day. And so I tell them, you'll have this in your inbox by like 10 p.m. tonight. And it's usually earlier, but if I have a late one, then maybe I got to come home, deal with the kids, and do some other stuff before I get it out. But I feel if I tell them they'll have it today, and then they get it today, I've already set myself apart from every other contractor that's like, nah, it'll be a few days or a week, or they don't say anything and it doesn't come. I've already shown that I do what I say I'm going to do.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? The biggest, and you hit the nail on the head. It's, you told them it was going to be there by 10 p.m. and it's actually there by 10 p.m. So I'm not, and I do, because I do flooring and I do tile and bathroom remodels and stuff like that. I price things differently when I'm pricing out flooring than when I do a shower, let's say. So, and you know me, like, I'm not a square foot guy at all.
Yeah.
I don't, and I say that and people, like, you know, you get that reaction. Well, what do you mean you don't charge by the foot? How do you not charge by the foot? And I said, well, you know, I use a square foot rate in my head as a, you know, as a starting point for me to start figuring my numbers. But I'm not going to say, oh, I'm charging $3 a square foot for laminate, $4 a square foot for hardwood, $5 a square foot for tile. Like, that's not information that I'm giving to my customers. These are just numbers that I'm using during my estimation process for myself.
Mm-hmm.
My customers get a labor cost and a material cost. And 9 out of 10 times, they just get a total cost. And I don't spend it down labor and materials. I think that it gives customers a chance to shop your numbers around. And I think that you lose some in that process. So, you know, and kind of branching off from this square foot pricing thing, are minimums as well. You know, we see a lot of back and forth online in the forums about minimums and day rates and this and that. And, you know, it's important that we discuss how these numbers are being used and not just that we're using them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, so a minimum, as far as I'm concerned, is something that I use for a full day of work. If I'm doing, I don't care what I'm doing. If I am setting tile, installing hardwood, painting a fence, I'm charging my minimum for the day, my day rate. And, you know, that might be, let's say, $1,250 a day rate, or $1,500 if you want a nice even number, whatever. So for $1,500, I'm either installing hardwood, setting tile, painting a fence, screwing in light bulbs, doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'm getting my day rate. Now, I can use that day rate as part of a bigger job. So if I'm doing a bathroom renovation and I'm going to take a day to demo the bathroom, well, that demo, the demo portion of that job is my day rate. So demo is $1,500 for this job.
Okay.
Now, if I'm doing something smaller, like a repair, let's say, and it's not taking my whole day. And then it's something that I can do quickly on my way to work or on my way from home. Like, I'm not going to charge my full dairy. I might charge $200 if it's something I can do real quick. You know, like, it's not, none of this is set in stone. There's always exceptions to every rule, and there's always, you always have room to move things around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so day rates, they're used for estimation purposes, and it's not a running total like a taxi. I'm not telling this customer I'm charging by the day, and now we're racking up, and now, oh, I've been here for 8 days times $1,500. But you're going to put them in the poorhouse. They're not going to be able to pay you. Like, it's simply for estimation purposes. That's it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if you estimate it'll take you 8 days and it takes you 10, they're at the $12,000, right?
I screwed up.
Correct. So you're at, on that project, if you estimated it was 8 days, you're at $1,500 a day. So you're at $12,000. If it takes you 10 days, you get paid $12,000. If it takes you 6 days,
exactly,
you get paid $12,000.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not a running total. It's just the number I'm using for estimation purposes during the bidding process.
Okay. Now, what I need to say before we get too far into this is you can go way, way, way back. Keep scrolling in the feed that you're looking at, and you will find like a how much should I charge for episode that I did with Anthony Moses way back. We talk about how to get to your day rate, okay? If you don't know how to figure out your day rate, go back, listen to that episode. But the simple summed up way is you need to know how much you can produce in a day, and you need to know what it costs to pay your bills, pay your taxes, run your business, all of that. And then you have to put some profit on it, and now you have your day rate.
Well, now it's funny that you say that, because I was actually thinking about this morning, and I said, for install it, because I do get messages all the time of what I think of projects, how I think installers should go about them, what I think a good rate is. And it's so hard because, you know, something that I charge in my market, I live in a tourist market. Mm-hmm. All my customers are second and third homeowners. Like, the people in the middle of, I don't know, Arkansas, Mrs. Kentucky, aren't charging the same thing that I'm charging to tourists, you know?
Correct.
So what I look at as far as like what I want to make in a year. So in a year, if I want to make $150,000, okay, that gives me 12 months, 52 weeks, or 365 days to make $150,000. If I work every day for those 365 days, I need to charge $410.96 to make $150,000 for the year. Now, nobody wants to work 365 days, so if we take off weekends, that brings us down to 261 days,
mm-hmm,
which means you need to charge $574.72. Now, not only do we not want to work weekends, but we don't want to work holidays, and there's 10 federal holidays, so there's 251 days that we have now, and that brings us up to $597.61. Now, every so often you run into somebody that wants to take off, you know what, that week between Christmas and New Year's. So that's Christmas week, less the 10 federal holidays, less the weekends. That gives us 246 days to make $150,000 a year. Mm-hmm. That means that our day rate is $609.76. Oh, and you know what? That doesn't take into account insurance, overhead, bills, costs. That's just what you want to make. So we're at $609.76 for $150,000 a year.
Correct.
Before all the fun.
Yeah, but I want that $150,000, so I got to pay taxes on that. So now we got to charge more.
Yeah. So for a day rate, we're already up to $609.76. So
if
you want to make that $150,000 and you want to pay your taxes and you want to pay your electric bill and all that stuff, a $1,250, a $1,500 day rate is not astronomical as it sounds, you know?
No, I honestly know that base numbers I could operate. It, generally, when you speak like that, that people will assume you can work 250 days a year because you're going to get a little vacation. You're going to not work weekends. So the number is usually 250. $100,000 a year is $500 a day. I want to make more than that. I have overhead. Oh, yeah. And so you as a single owner operator need to be somewhere between $800 to $1,000 a day, in my opinion. And that'll get you clearing six figures a year.
And you're absolutely right. And it's funny because, you know, if you recall, a few months back, I posted a backsplash that I did. And it was under 20 square feet. I did it in about, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours. Set, grouted all, the whole thing, $1,500.
Oh, you ripped them off,
and
man.
I got ripped apart of my audacity. Man. Who do I think I am? About price gouging and ripping people off and taking advantage. I said, whoa, stop right there. I said, he didn't have to pay me. There's 30 handymen watching the local Facebook group waiting ready to pounce. He found value in what I offered and was happy to pay me. And not only was he happy to pay me, he was also happy to give me 4 referrals.
Yep.
So, and, you know, the other part of that is that, well, if you're charging $1,500 a backsplash, all I would do is backsplashes, and you must be a millionaire. And, well, the thing about that is the type of work you're doing is dictated by what's on the other end of the phone call. So not everybody's calling for $1,500 backsplashes every day. That's not a regular occurrence. It happens every now and then. So you got to jump on those opportunities.
Well, it's not just that. It's not that you can't specialize being the $1,500 backsplash guy. You can do that. You can build that business model. Okay, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but it's not always going to be there is, you know, the point that I'm trying to make.
Well, exactly.
I can't guarantee that every phone call is for a backsplash.
Correct. And I mean, like, it would take time to build out that business model. But even if you did that, you're still going to have lulls in your business. It's normal. Okay, like you're going to miss days. So if our projected number is somewhere between 800 to 1,000, then shooting for 1250 to 1500 pays for the lulls. You got to think ahead, folks. Like I've talked about it before, right? Like you're damaging your body. That has a cost. We don't get a 401k. We don't get a, you know, any sort of retirement plan. We pay our own Social Security, which who knows if that's going to be there or not. That's a different conversation. You don't get paid vacation. You don't get anything as an owner operator. So you better take every single thing into account and not just being able to pay the bills today. All right. There's always going to be the hacks. Don't worry about them. If they want to charge $1 a square foot and be busy, that's fine. If that's your level of work and that's what you want to do, I'm cool with that too. I need somebody to make my work look better than it is, so I appreciate it. And then I can charge more. And so if you want to operate at the top of the industry and charge the highest rates, you need to be able to have the work to back it up, but you also have to do the research to be able to know your numbers. You got to do time studies. You know, you knew that you could go in there and get it done in a day. A 20-foot backsplash isn't a whole lot. I get that, but now, if I ask you, how much backsplash of, what are they? Probably like 3x12 subway. Could you do in a day?
How many backsplashes?
Like, no, just like how many square feet can you do of 3x12 subway in a day?
Oh, God. I don't know. If it's a backsplash... See, it's so hard because none of them are ever the same, and like,
right.
I can't.
Fair enough.
You know, and it's
No, I mean, you're okay, but you know, you're like, okay, fine. So, on average, how much LVP?
Sorry,
no, I get it. That one's a little harder, right? Because there's outlets. There's is it super wide open above the stove, or am I doing underneath cabinet space? Like, there's.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like doing a hallway
backsplash. Yeah. Well, exactly. You just hit the nail on the head. So typical backsplash is very similar to floor in a hallway. You know, it's only a certain amount of square feet. You know, average hallway is what, 30, 40 feet, maybe 50. But, you know, working in and out of the jams, keeping it straight, that whole nonsense. So similar in that most of your effort are used in a small space. But typical backsplash around you know, 30 feet is kind of standard. I usually sit in a day and then grout the next. I just happened to get lucky on that one. It was under 20 square feet, grouted it the same day because I wiggled the tile and it didn't move. And I said, you know what? We're going to try this.
Yeah. And sometimes you go for it and you win. So I get it. I mean, let's look at it from, like, what's your standard, like, what are they, 3x5 showers? Is that what you call them?
Yeah, standard 3x5 shower.
So standard 3x5 shower, how many days is that for you? Because you've done enough of them at this point that you know, like, it's going to be X amount to tear it out. Like, and not if it's
fully
tiled already. Like, if it's a tub surround that you got to rip out, right? And then you're gonna prep it, and you're going to put tile in it, and you got to do the little, like, 20-square-foot floor.
Yeah, so I usually, like, something along those lines, I usually plan for 2 weeks. And that's demo, build a shower, tile it, finish everything up, you know, get it 100% ready for the plumber and the glass guy to come back in and do their thing. I plan on 2 weeks. Some go quicker, some go a little longer, depending on what I'm trying. But a basic, you know, if somebody calls me and says, oh, how long to take you for a bathroom like that, I usually say around 2 weeks.
Okay.
Give or take.
But I mean, that's you know how long it's going to take, what you're going to make, what you can fit in between if there's any, like, lulls in the process for you. Like, I personally know, like, I've built my numbers around that $800 to $1,000 a day. I kind of know how much carpet I can rip out in a day, how much vinyl plank I can get done in a day. And so once I punch in all, like, I operate off square foot numbers. Okay. So I go against the grain on you, but I've built my square foot numbers on kind of what I can get done in a day. So,
well, you know what? It's funny because the square foot numbers are great for pricing, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't give square foot numbers to customers, but I absolutely use them for, you know, doing my estimates.
Correct.
So, but I use them as a starting point for, especially on floors. Like, so if I'm doing a Cortec floor and I'm not talking rip out, prep, anything like that, I'm just straight lay, walk in, that magical subfloor is perfect, and I'm going to start laying floors this second.
Yeah.
I'm at $4 a square foot if it's under 1,000 feet and $350 a square foot if it's over. And this is the number that I'm using in my head just to give my estimate. And so, it takes away that ability for that customer to call and say, hey, how much do you charge? Okay, thanks, bye. Like, I need to go through the process. But yeah. I'm not giving that put. It's just a number. So if I come up with a total for a bedroom, let's say, and it's, the total comes up to $2,250 based on the $4 a square foot for the Cortec. And I'm like, that's going to be a pain. I got to park on that hill. I got to go to traffic. I'm going to bump that to $2,500.
Yeah.
Just make it an even $2,500. If I had told them that my rate is $4 and they figured out that it's $2,250, well, where is this extra coming in? You told me you only charge this. So that's why I don't give square foot pricing and I choose to do total. But
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with square foot pricing. And if you, it's another one of those things that goes back to your market, depending on your customers. If my customers are calling me to do a floor, they're not shopping around. They want me because it's me. And I know that sounds like I'm cocky and think a lot of myself, but I mean, you know, Kyle, as a friend, that's not the case.
Correct. Well, you started in 2008. You've been at this 12 years now. You've built a brand.
I fought long and hard to be a mediocre installer, damn it.
Exactly. Yes, you did. But you have a reputation in your area now after 12 years. So yes, you're right in that people call you. I'm working hard after being on my own 3 years to kind of build that same reputation. And, you know, like I said, I have the opposite approach. I'll have a square foot number. My square foot numbers are just higher than other people's. And my immediate stop to that is that my square foot number isn't all inclusive, right? Like, that's not doing the baseboards. That's not the carpet tear out. I'm like, I don't have a number. I have a square foot number, but that's not going to give you the whole picture. Can you tell me more about your project? And they're like,
well, and that's exactly why I don't do it. But, you know, and you could wake up tomorrow and change it. You could say, you know what? I'm not charging by the square foot anymore. I'm charging by the, I don't know, the step, however many steps I take in a day. I'm going to wear a pedometer, and that's going to work for my business because I walk a lot. I don't know.
No, exactly. There's a, like we said, there's a million ways to skin a cat. So any, you can do it however you want, right? Like there's always the argument of just show a total and I line item everything. Okay. Like people are going to argue about which way is best. I like the line items because my personal preference, if I was given an estimate from a contractor, I want to see where my money's going. I don't care what they're charging. If they want to charge me $1 million to remove a sprinkler head in my lawn, like that's their prerogative. Okay. But I want to see where that $1 million is coming from. I don't want to just see that I'm going to pay $1.1 million. Like I want to know what that million's being used for. So I like to line item and show everything and where it's going. And if they think I'm expensive, so be it. I get told all the time, you're twice as much as the other guys. Well, that's fine. But did you look at my credentials? Did you listen to what I actually said during our estimate? Like there was value there, but if you didn't get it, that's on you. I'm not worried about that. And a lot of times I get told,
at the end of the day, that's you just said it. You know, that value, if you're bringing your customer value and your customer sees value in you and what you're providing, then it doesn't matter how you got to your numbers. What matters is that your customer's happy, they get you the referral and the check cleared.
Yep. No, I'm with you. And it's I used to rush out. There's a big difference in how I did business in 2019 versus how I did business this year in 2020. 2019, I rushed out to like everybody that contacted me. I went to every estimate, right? Like you got to hustle, right? You're trying to build something. So I went out and I put 20,000 miles on my vehicle going to every single lead. Okay. Here's the kicker. I have weeded so many people out this year because I've started pre-qualifying and I'll talk to you on the phone. And I know that one of my LVP installs is going to run $10 to $12 a square foot all in. That's product, demo, installation, brand new baseboards. Like I know I've researched all my invoices and I came up with the total and said, this is what it's going to cost for me to do the project. So it's somewhere between 10 and 12. Sometimes we push 13 if there's a lot of tile.
Well, you know what? There's a lot to be said for coming up with that number in 3 years of owning a business. Because it's taken me at least 10 to do that. So kudos to you for figuring out before I was smart enough to.
Well, thank you. Because it helps weed out a lot of people. Because I can tell them like, oh, you got a 2,000 square foot house? Okay, well, it's probably closer to, you know, 1,700 by the time we take out the walls and add in cabinets and things. Like, it's not as much square footage as is reported to the county assessor. And so at $10 a square foot, you're going to be 17,000. They're like, oh my gosh, you're so expensive. I already have two other estimates for 12,000. Cool. Oh,
fantastic.
Thank you. You know what? I'm happy to talk to you about the project. That's where I'm going to be at. I can explain where the numbers came from, how I got there. I'm happy to come out if that's in your range. Otherwise, you know, I wish you the best with your project. End of story. I've done that.
It's funny how people.
I was just going to say, I'm still going to put 20,000 miles on my vehicle this year. I'm just getting more calls.
What I was going to say is it's funny how people have no idea how much things cost. Mm-hmm. And you get these local business owners that are basing their prices off their competition.
Yeah.
Like it just boggles my mind. I don't understand. So, okay. So one of the best pieces of advice that I was given when trying to figure out pricing was by my friend Shannon Hufstickler from Schluter, who was setting tile before she became a reckless shooter. And she said, keep a journal. And I said, what do you mean? She said, keep a journal. You know, every day you go to work and you write down, you know, the day, what you did. And, you know, you do that so you can see what you accomplish for each day of the project, and then you count the hours. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the project, you have a document. You can say, well, this job costs this much divided by this many hours. This is how much I made per hour. And you know, I did this, and I did it for quite some time on quite a few projects, and I found what my most profitable projects were, and I found what I was wasting time on. So it really helped me focus on, you know, kind of making adjustments where I needed to. But, you know, it really, there's nothing that opens your eyes like seeing right in front of you where you're screwing up.
Oh, yeah. No, you know? I was doing it forever. I was charging way, I was not charging nearly enough on baseboard installation to pull them, put them
in. No, and the baseboard of houses all day. That's a whole day.
If not more, man, I do some pretty big houses, dude.
Absolutely.
I don't got them little beach houses, okay?
Well, so like, okay, going back to the price, the over-the-phone price of weeding the customer, weeding the tire kickers out, let's call them. Mm-hmm. So, and it's for me personally, it's really hard to do it with floors because nobody ever has an accurate measurement of their floors. They're always like, oh, I don't know. So I always end up going out to measure the floors, and I find that that's what I waste my most time on. For showers, however, I can say, and I know in my head, and this is, again, why I don't do square foot pricing, because so typical 3x5 shower, I start at $3,500. Okay. And then I go up in $500 increments for adding a bench, a niche, a deco strip, a ceiling, a small floor. And, you know, that's how I work my way up. And then I throw on $2,000 for setting materials. So that's the, you know, shooter shower or whatever, you know, system of your choice that you're using. Okay. Thin set, grout, silicone, that sort of thing. So for a standard, you know, 3x5 shower with, you know, the usual bells and whistles, nothing extravagant, I'm usually around $7,000 or $8,000.
Hold on. Okay, know? I gotta stop you. So you said setting materials. They still haven't paid for the tile.
No. Yeah, this is without the tile.
Got it. Okay.
This is not including the tile.
All right. Yeah. I just want to be completely clear. Do you add a tile allowance in?
No. You know what I do is I typically now. Okay. So let's back up. And then we'll address the tile in a second.
Okay.
So as far as the shower itself is concerned, I'm around $7,000 or $8,000 for a 3x5 shower. And I know most of them are 3x5. Now, if it's 4x5, I don't really need to charge any more for an extra 8 square feet. It's like that's why I don't do square foot pricing, because it's not taking me any more time to set an extra 8 square feet. I know that sounds weird because you're doing something extra, but in the grand scheme of the project, it's not like an extra day to set an extra row of tile. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So I have this number in my head, and if somebody calls, and I just had somebody today who called and said, hi, you know, Ken, I saw your name on the local recommendations page. We love your work. It's so great. Can you come out and give us an estimate? And the first thing I said, sure, you know, I'd be happy to come, take a look at your project. I said, how big is the shower? And, oh, it's a standard 3x5, just, you know, nothing special. I said, okay, a shower that size with the bathroom in the midst that you're whatever. I said, you're going to be around $7,000 or $8,000. Okay, no problem. Can you come out and, you know, this weekend and look at it? Sure. I now know that I haven't wasted my time. Mm-hmm. I've already given them, and I could come down from that. If I see it's a basic layout or something like that, or, you know, they have a second shower and I want to get both, like I've already given them a price point that I have the ability to come down from.
Yes.
I can't go back to them and say, oh, this is going to be $10,000 now because of this. Like now I also give that disclaimer, and this goes back to the communication. I always say, this is for a basic layout. If you give me some sort of herringbone paper face glass from overseas, like the price is going to go up. I said, this is for a basic layout, nothing crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You can go up from here if you want. Now, this is what I like. I do like to do. I'll say, this is for the basic layout, around $7,000 or $8,000. We can go up from there depending on how crazy you want to get. And usually that gets the wives who are like, oh, okay, we can, you know, it brings out that little bit of sense of humor so they're comfortable with you. But it kind of puts them in their place at the same time. Like, oh, we know something beyond this is possible, but we may not need it for our project.
Mm-hmm. No, I like it. I mean, I've been able to give people ballparks and they like, right, they'll kind of balk at the price, but you know it's within their budget. And I'm like, look, I know it's high. Like, let me come out and we'll measure it up. We'll see what we can do. Because sometimes on those bigger projects, it comes down a little bit. Like, they have their numbers wrong. It's not quite as much of one thing as the other, what they think. Like, this one, like the one that I did this year, the lady overestimated how much wood had to come out. And there was more carpet that had to come out. So, you know, removing carpet's 40 cents a square foot, whereas removing wood is $4.50 a square foot. Well, that just screwed up your numbers by a lot of money. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I was able to like know the budget.
It's difficult to do it with floors than it is with showers.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I was able to go out and I nailed it. Like, I presented the number and they were like, oh, yeah, that's a little bit under like what our max budget was. Let's lock it in. Okay. But based off the initial number she gave me, they were like, whoa, that's way too much. I was like, no, hold on. Like, sometimes you got to read it, right? Like, you can tell people are like, they have the money, but they don't necessarily want to do it. So this is where communication over the phone like works. You know, you can play with things, right? They might want the Mona Lisa of showers, but they will settle for something less to fit their budget.
Absolutely.
They still get a Ken Ballen, right? Did you do that lady shower yet? Did she call you? The one that wants that's saving for a Ken Ballen?
Oh, no. You know what? I think she might still be saving for a Ken Ballen.
She better keep saving because new year and new rates.
Hey, prices go up in the new year. Oh, that was so funny. I love that story.
That's a good one. If you haven't heard it, go back, listen to one of the episodes with Ken. It's in there somewhere. I don't remember which one. No. All right. Let's not get sidetracked.
Communication is big, man. And, you know, you can save yourself a lot of headaches. Mm-hmm. And a lot of wasted time by communicating properly.
Well, and I mean, on that note, right? Like, I'm going to walk into every estimate that I do, and I make sure to clearly communicate to them while I'm there. I will be doing X, Y, Z, and I specifically state the estimate I'm going to send you does not include any major prep work. That doesn't include grinding cracks in the concrete slab. It doesn't include self-level. It doesn't include subfloor repair in an upstairs. All of these cannot, like, none of these items can be determined until I can see them, because most people have some kind of floor covering down. So I can't estimate the cost on that until I get there, right? Because now everybody always feels bad, like, oh, I feel like I'm putting them in a bad position and I've got the bull by the horns because I've already locked them into this contract. Like, I can't charge them anymore to pour the bag of self-level. Heck yeah, you can. You already told them you had to.
Oh, absolutely. And that, you know, communication, say it right up front. And I tell every customer that I go in, this estimate will include removing the existing floor covering and installing the new floor covering. If I can't see it, then I can't include a price for it. Yep. So there will be an additional cost for floor prep. It's unforeseen. You know, we're not fortune tellers. We can't, so we don't have x-ray vision. You know, it's just part of the game.
Correct. Charge for it, people. Like, you don't have to give away your work, right? Like, this is why we have to be able to calculate and know our day rates and what we can get done. Like, you're adding in time. You need to charge for it. Like, get paid. Don't go buy the stuff for free. That's insane. Don't give it away. Just communicate. It's going to make a difference, because I guarantee you every other contractor isn't communicating. Go talk to any one of your clients and ask them how they feel about the communication they got from the other people that came and bid the project or have bid past projects. And they will gladly tell you communication sucks. I know it. It's the contractor stereotype, right?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. You know, it's funny because there's a friend of mine and I'm going to mess up the details of the story, but a friend of mine, Ken Pearson, is another local floor guy. He owns Carpet Castle. So we kind of overlap with some of our work. Like, we both do vinyl plank, but he does carpet, and he has a refinishing crew. And and he doesn't do tile. So, like, there's a few things that we do cross over, but not everything. So I am referring him constantly. But he's a friend of mine. We talk regularly all the time. He had a customer, and for the record, I did not ask permission to tell this story. So I'm sure there will be some sort of off-brand comment when this comes out. But I'm going to use it anyway, and it's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
Well, Ken, I don't even know if Ken Pearson listens, so there you go.
Well, he will when I told him I was talking about him.
All right. Okay.
So he had gone out to this estimate, and these people were kind of giving him a hard time. And he came to the conclusion that, it just wasn't going to work out. And, he said to the customer, I'm very sorry. I said, I'm not right for this project. This is not for me, whatever. And the customers said, well, you haven't even given us an estimate yet. And so I can just tell, like, it's not, this isn't going anywhere or something, to that extent. Mm-hmm. And, that wasn't his exact words, of course. But, so he wraps up, he gets his thing, he goes home, maybe it was the next day or the day after, he gets a 1-star Google review from the customer.
Jeez.
and about how he wouldn't even give us an estimate, and he said he was too expensive for us, and I'm like, oh my God. But he was like, well, that's not what I said at all. So he was particularly fond of us having this podcast about communication because of this instance in particular. Mm-hmm. But the other side of this is that his wife, Mary, who's delightful. I love them both dearly. Ken and Mary Pearson are fantastic human beings, and I love them death. Mary texted me the next day, and she says, so would you be interested in doing some training for how to deal with customers at Carpet Castle anytime soon? So I hear you guys need some customer service training. And then there were some words exchanged that we probably shouldn't say on the podcast.
Okay. Fair enough. Oh, man. Yeah, you can't tell them that before you give them the number. I get it. Look, I get it. I've been in there. I've been there. But I've also won projects where, you don't think you're going to get it.
I talk to Ken all the time. And like I said, Ken and Mary Pearson are phenomenal human beings. I love them to death. They're some of the kindest, most genuine people I've ever met. So to hear him, catch some crap for this Google review, I was just beside myself. I think I laughed for three days straight.
Well, and a lot of times, you can respond to 1-star reviews and come out looking like a champ. Because let's be honest,
that's
right?
Exactly what Mary did. Like, yeah. She responded, and she whenever Mary responds on social media, like, I always look at it and I'm like, wow, why didn't I think of that?
Well, because, right.
She's such a smart, articulate woman, and how she interacts with others is just, she blows me out of the water every time.
Well, I mean, the goal is, if anybody doesn't know, and I've learned this through Jerry Levinson, who's a store owner in my area. He also does some consulting for retailers. If you're an installer and you want to go and learn, like, he's got stuff for that too. But his whole goal with 1-star reviews is, like, you can respond. And a lot of times the people that leave 1-star reviews are the crazy ones, right? Like, they're just pissed and nuts and whatnot. You can respond in a way that, like, people will see that they're the crazy one and you're the hero.
Yep.
So you just don't get mad. Don't get upset. Just respond with the facts and let the internet decide. Because a lot of times if you have a good following, you can get people like your really loyal clients to come along and they'll jump on and be like, they're the best. They do awesome things, blah, blah, blah. There's a, there's a pizza shop in a town called, well, it's not, it's South Phoenix. Oh, they'll hate that I said South Phoenix. They like to be called Ahwatukee. Anyways, there's a pizza shop in this area called Ahwatukee. And man, if anybody says anything negative about them in the like Facebook groups, hundreds of people come to their defense on every
they
post.
Get on it. Hey,
oh my gosh.
You know what? There's something to be said for that though. I appreciate loyalty. You know, loyalty is a far-fetched thing to find, you know, and I think it's undervalued and maybe we should put a little more emphasis on it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay, so if we're going to talk about estimates, we have to talk about lifetime value of a client, I think. And that's that's where loyalty lies, okay? So you may go out and get a call for, like, that $1,500 backsplash, and it barely meets your minimum, and it's going to be a pain in the butt. You can't look at it as a $1,500 backsplash. How many referrals, if you knock this job out of the out of the park, can you get? That $1,500 might equate to $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, depending on who they know.
Easily.
Seth, I'm going to screw up his last name. Seth Fokerson, Nelkerson, Seth something down in Florida has been in contact with me. And we've been going back and forth about some stuff, and like we just check in with each other. He was like down and out and took this job that was like below what he really wanted to make, but and it was this carpet job.
Oh, I know Seth. Right. Seth is Seth's FIA family.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And so dude, this he took this job for carpet like super cheap, and the dude's given him a ton of referrals. And he's charged full price on every single one of those referrals. So look, man, sometimes like this is the beauty of being the owner operator. Like, yes, we want to charge premium every time. Being the owner, you get to determine if you have to do that or not. And sometimes you got to suck it up and just pay the bills.
There's no set rules, dude.
Exactly.
There's no set rules. You can change it anytime for any reason. I could change. I could have put out a $30,000 estimate today, and tomorrow I had three jobs fall through. I'm like, oh, I need this one. Hey, how do you feel about 25? I'm in a power position to do that. You know, that's my call.
Correct. So you gotta look at what the lifetime value of somebody's going to be. Are they well connected? Do you know who they are? Do you know who they know? And so that job doesn't just equate to the bottom line of that estimate you sent out, whether it's $1,000 or $30,000 or $100,000 or you're a GC and you're building a house and it's $500,000. I don't care. Who do they know and what can they do for you? And, you know, are they going to give you 5 referrals, 10 referrals, 20 referrals? How long does this go? You know, guys argue all the time, like, I don't want to be friends with my clients. I disagree. I have a woman that I've done two projects for her, but I would go sit down and eat dinner with her right now. I wouldn't even think twice about it because I genuinely enjoy spending time with her and having conversation. But if something comes up, she tags me in social media all the time. She is like telling her friends about me. She remembers my company. I'm always top of mind to her. And it's not because I went and did a good job. That's part of it. But a lot of it is that we have fun when we hang out. And like, I've been,
That goes back to, and we've talked about this before, about building your brand. Your brand isn't your business. Your brand is you. Mm-hmm. So if part of your brand is this accessible, kind person that, you know, customers can talk to and trust, that's going to play to your benefit. When I first started out on my own installing flooring, one of my first jobs was in an adult community, a local adult community, like a retirement community. And this sweet little lady, Mrs. Scagnelli. She was my first. I did her kitchen and laminate flooring, and she was thrilled, and I charged her $2 a foot. And she told all of her friends. But, dude, I kid you not, I worked every single day for 6 months in that retirement community based off of that one job. Because every time you're in one of those communities, somebody else sees you working, walks up to your truck and asks for a card.
Mm-hmm.
It's every day, no day off, 6 months straight. And it just snowballed from there. And I mean, I've worked with, I've had helpers, I've had crews, I've had, you know, so, you know, for me and a helper to go, for me to be able to maintain a helper for 6 months straight every day, just being by myself, like, that's big. And mm-hmm. I still get referrals from that community. I mean, Mrs. Scagnelli has since passed, God rest her soul, but I still get referrals from the lady. It is the most bizarre thing.
Correct. And you can't, I mean, unless, I mean, you need some really intricate software to track that kind of stuff. Not really intricate. You could, in fact, you could probably do it with RLM.
For over a year.
Correct. But I, well, okay. So just to get my plug in there, you're right. You can use retail lead management.com. Go there, get a free trial, talk to Jason's people. They're great. But no, like you can, if you get a CRM, you can put that stuff in there, whether it's first, like, a direct referral, a referral from a referral, like you can start looking at these things. And as you build your business over years, if you keep track of that data, it will pay dividends. Because honestly, I wouldn't hesitate. I should get a CRM, and I should probably talk to Jason about getting RLM. probably. It's, man. But if I were to put that stuff in there, right? Like if I'm going to build this brand that I talk about building, and I'm going to have a store or multiple stores and multiple crews and multiple salespeople, if somebody gives me referrals for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and I can look in there and like see what tracks back to them, and I've generated $1 million, $2 million in revenue off of that, I might want to send them like a $50 gift card to go out to dinner with their family, right?
Christmas basket or two, man.
Exactly, right? Like what's a Christmas basket on $1 million in revenue? Nothing.
Seriously.
So, but how do you know to do it if you don't keep track of it? So once again, going back, like let's get back to the main topic. Estimates. Ask, how did you hear about me? Because I'm really bad about that. I don't keep track of it at all. And like any of these sales things that you can like sign up for, whether it's the contractor fight or RLM, any of these things that you can go and learn sales things, track what the customer says. Just ask them, hey, how'd you hear about me? And write it down. Facebook, a previous client, Google search, whatever it is, right? Like you need to know if your money's being spent well.
Well, and it's funny, you just said it, that, you know, your money, the money that you're spending on, specifically on advertising, you need to know that it's money well spent. You know, I had an ad in the local paper, for years, like, and I, it was every month, and I, you know, I think maybe it was like $50 a month or something. Like it wasn't anything astronomical, and it was maybe the size of two business cards. But on the island over here, like that's like, you come on the island, you stop at Wawa, you grab the sandpaper. That's the local paper, and it's got all the contractors in there and local stories, and you know. So I had that in there for years. And then they put, twice a year, they would do like a home renovation magazine that they would put out. So I always bought either a half page or a full page ad in there. And then a few times they wrote a story about me mm-hmm. in that magazine, which I didn't pay for. But, you know, being that I was buying advertising, yeah. I'm sure it put me on their radar a little more than somebody that wasn't. But I stopped getting calls from it altogether. And everything switched over to social media. It was all Facebook. It's all from the local Facebook recommendations group. It's all online. And I've pulled all print advertising because I just wasn't getting any calls from it.
Yeah.
And that is very specific to your market. So I do not suggest anybody just pull all your print advertising like I did. In fact, I don't suggest anybody doing anything in high tube because, you know, I kind of like to fly by the seat of my pants, but it's a personal issue.
No, I'm with you. Like, okay, so that pizza shop that I referred to earlier, they worked up a deal with a company that will like print your info on the table. Okay. So I paid, what did I pay? I don't know, like $1,200 maybe. And I got my info on 20 tables in their shop, but they stay there for a minimum.
How long ago was that?
I think it went into effect sometime earlier this year. No, maybe late last year. But it stays there for a minimum of 2 years. I'm not worried about the call. Oh. So here's the thing, right? Like because I don't ask, because I'm horrible. So don't, like, I have to improve areas of my business. And that's one of the reasons this podcast exists. It was made as much for you as it was made for me. It's to stay top of mind because I do get a lot of calls from that town, that area of town. And I do a lot of work in that area. So they see me in the Facebook community group, but a lot of those people eat at the pizza place, not this year because of COVID.
Okay, so that goes back to brand awareness. That's
exactly,
not necessarily
right?
A direct return on investment.
Exactly.
I equate that to me participating in our local Christmas parade.
Yes.
Because I didn't get any calls from the Christmas. Actually, that's not true. That's not true at all. I got 3 or 4 calls. Hey, we saw you in the parade. But they had already had my number. So I couldn't say it's a direct result.
No, but it helped them remember to call you.
Well, it's brand awareness. And, you know, and that I hate to keep going back to building your brand. Like, I know every time somebody hears me talk, it's about marketing. But, you know, that in my head is such a, important part that so many people overlook. And building your brand is everything from being in the Christmas parade to buying space on your table at the local diner to coaching soccer for your kids and bringing your work truck to every soccer game. Like,
well, and being the person that pays for their shirts. And so the name of the company's on the back.
Yes. And you're not going to get a call from that, but it's brand awareness, building your brand.
Correct. Well, okay. So here's exactly what I did. And I did this because I truly want to do this. I did not do this to promote my company, but my company is the one that can afford to pay for it. I mean, I guess technically I could, but once again, it's branding, right? Okay. So Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts has been amazing to my family. We just got into Boy Scouts because my son's finally old enough, but we've had a great time with it. It's a really good family program. They've opened it up to girls. My daughter's doing it. It's absolutely amazing. I have put out there that my company I'm taking open applications for anybody that needs to do an Eagle project, which is the highest rank you can obtain. And my company will give you $1,000 to fund your project. But I need the application. Awesome. I want to review what they're going to do with it because I want something that actually is going to impact the community. I want these kids to make a difference for years to come. And then I also offered that I will pay in full, which is roughly like $500 a kid, to get them started in the program for their first year. Two kids that are underprivileged and their parents can't afford to buy them the uniform, pay the dues, pay all this stuff to get them into the program for the year. So I'll get 2 kids in the program, but after that, it's up to them. They got to do the fundraising. They've got to pay their own way because that's what my kids did, is I funded them each the first year. And after that, man, they sold the heck out of some popcorn and they have paid their way ever since. They buy their own uniform. They pay for their own camping trips. They pay for their own gear, like everything they paid for themselves. So I put it out on like the local Boy Scout group. Hey, here's what I'm doing. And man, it got more likes than when I put like a Floor Academy post up. So it was awesome, but I haven't received any emails to my email address yet from anybody looking to do it. And so I'll give it a little bit longer and then I'll repost about it and be like, hey, I just want to throw this out there. I haven't heard from anybody. Like, I want to make sure this gets used. Like I'm not even going to get the tax write-off for it. I'm going to have to pull it out of the business account, put it in my name, put it as a member draw, pay the taxes on it. Dude, I don't even care. Just let me give you money, because not only has the flooring world been good to me, But the scouting world has been good to me. Let me give back to the community. And it's not about what I'm going to get back, man. It's about me just being able to help people, because I've been able to become more fortunate through the circumstances that I'm not even going to lie. I created them. I've been fortunate through the circumstances I've created. And don't forget that, people. You create your circumstances. So when you get down on yourself, you're not going to do as well. And if you're really positive and motivated and you bust your butt, you're going to do better.
Dude, mindset, it's all about mindset, man. And you just said it, like, if you're, I feel like I keep repeating myself, but, you know, you get back what you put out into the universe, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a positive person, then you're going to reap positive benefits.
I agree. Oh my gosh, dude, how do we even get here? Like, estimates to like mindset,
we
right?
We have a tendency to go off on tangents.
Correct. I get it. Honestly, if you don't have a good mindset going into your estimate, you've already lost, right? Like, dude, I'm going to walk into the estimate. I am the most confident guy in the world. And I've only been doing flooring for, is it 6 years now? 5.5? One of the two.
Well, I'm confident when I walk in after I pre-screened them, of course.
Well, no, I could go into an estimate blind. I'm the professional. I'm there for a reason. Okay. Like, you called me because you don't know how to do it. So you already, like, for you not to walk into that estimate confidently doesn't make sense to me. They called you because they need you. You've already been put in a position of power. Use it. Now go in and talk a little lingo. Don't talk down to them. Don't confuse them. Don't, like, make them feel dumb, but you can talk about how, you know, a floor has to be flat to within 3/16 of an inch in a 10-foot radius. You can talk about how you have to test the concrete slab for moisture. You can talk about whatever it is that you are dealing with, you know, how a shower wall needs to be plumb because you don't want it crooked and with, like, you know, the curb has to be pitched right, right? You just dealt with that. The curb was pitched wrong because you didn't do the curb.
Oh, yeah.
So there there was a claim.
I'm doing them all from now on, though.
I bet you are. So there was a claim issue, right? Like, but you can talk about how the curb has to be pitched so that the water actually drains down to the drain. You can sound like the consummate professional, which you should be anyways, but you'll sound better than the next guy that just comes in, looks at a couple things, and says, 15,000. Don't be that guy.
Well, and knowing your market is big, too, because, and I tell my kids this all the time, be aware of your surroundings. If I walk into an engineer's house, I'm going to talk to him a little differently than I would, somebody that's not an engineer, a farmer, a school teacher, and anybody. You know, people have different strengths. So, you know, I have friends that are teachers and I can talk to them like normal people, but I know that if I've got an engineer in front of me, I got to step up my game and sound smarter than I am.
How does that work with Bill Bailey? Because he's a teacher and a contractor.
Bill Bailey is a special breed, my friend. That man never ceases to amaze me, and he's smarter than me and better at me than everything, and it just makes me jealous.
you know what? Dude, I saw a picture of him on Facebook today, and he had the biggest smile on his face, but he was on his boat.
He's like a freaking Renaissance man.
No. Dude, he was on his boat, dude, and he had a fish. And, like, that's all that man wants. One interview with him, all that man wants to do is fish. And so he was, he was out in his happy place. It was very cool to see.
In his element?
You could just see how happy he was. It was awesome. But
I love Bill. He is a phenomenal craftsman and an even better human being.
Yeah. No, it was a great interview. He's a good guy. So, yeah, no, you're right. Like, right? Like, I'm going to talk to Susie Homemaker differently than I'm going to talk to her engineering husband, than I'm going to talk to the school guidance counselor versus how I'm going to talk to the doctor. I need to find out what you do and be able to relate to you. One of the best people I've sat down and talked to, the lady was a, what did she do? She did graphic design, and she got picked up by Apple, like, when, like, Apple in the heyday, like, first run through of Steve Jobs. And so that was really cool to sit down and talk with her and be like, what was this like? What was this project like? How was Steve about this? And this was the estimate. Like, I'm getting her to tell me all kinds of stories about like her producing the graphics and what she was doing and this, that, and the other thing. And man, she didn't care what price I came in with. Like, we had fun talking about the stories.
Yeah, man. Some people are just, you know, fun to be around, fun to talk to. And those are some of the, well, I mean, they're the best people to be around. I don't know how productive I am when I'm working for them.
So that lady that I mentioned earlier that, like, I'll go eat dinner with her. Oh, man, I have to tell her all the time. Like, I'll sit there and talk for an hour. I'm like, I have to go work now. I have to go home to my wife and kids.
Getting anything done. You need to leave me alone.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I don't know. Estimates. I don't care how you do them. I don't think Ken cares how you do them.
Nope.
It doesn't matter if they're line item. It doesn't matter if it's a total. What matters is that you know the numbers you're putting into them. Is that our summary? Are we there?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, it comes down to what works for you, making sure you're getting what you're worth, and making sure at the end of the day that your customer is happy and the check clears. Like, we can nitpick apart, and you know, we have a tendency to do this online because, and in my opinion, picking each other's work apart makes us better. So. Mm-hmm. I'm always happy to share my work because I want it to be picked apart. But you know, that the stuff that we pick apart is stuff that we see as professionals, and you know, it allows us to make adjustments. The average homeowner does not see that stuff. So at the end of the day, as long as you did the best job you could, it's installed to industry standards, your customer's happy and the check clears, I say it's a win.
Me too. Build that bank account. Get that retirement plan. Go buy your investment property or a boat. I don't care what you're doing with your money, man. Be happy. Be profitable. Stop slaving away. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want you to stop it. Dude, you are killing yourself in this trade. I guarantee it, okay? I've started too late. I started, let's say I'm 38, so yeah. I started when I was 32. I hurt after 5.5 years. It sucks.
Oh, I hear that, man.
I haven't even been doing it that long. You are killing yourselves. Get paid for it. Especially, okay, if there's this installer crisis that all these organizations are talking about, you will be able to command a premium in a few years. Get paid. And you're not ripping people off, okay, right? They decided to write the check. So they saw the value.
Yeah, nobody's holding a gun to anybody's head saying, sign this contract. You know, they see value in what you're offering, they're going to cut you the check. And they're going to have you do the work, and they're going to see value in it.
If you are holding the gun, reach out to me because I want to know how you're getting away with it. So I'll throw that out.
That was
there.
A metaphorical gun, damn it.
Oh, got it. Okay, never mind. But no, I mean, look, we're tradesmen, right? Like, let's bring respect back to the trades. And this goes in, I talked with Jamin and Chanel about bringing respect back to the trades. Like, man, I said it in that episode, right? There was a time when you used to have to pay to be an apprentice, or your father would like sell the family cow to get you an apprenticeship with the mason or the steel worker or whatever. Man, I gotta pay an apprentice these days. Ain't nobody running up to my truck like, I want to be a flooring installer. And I heard,
but you know what, that, you know, and this is kind of big with me because, and you know, you see the things that I kind of post online and what I do online. I think it's so important. The reason nobody wants to get into the trade is because nobody's making it appealing. Like, we have to make it look cool. We have to make it is cool. You get to work with your hands. Like, this is not a 9-to-5. You're not punching a time clock. You get to put out art and be paid to do it. How awesome is that? Like, let's make it cool.
Correct. Stop selling your apprenticeship positions. One, stop calling them a helper. I'm big on that. They're not helpers. They can prove to be a helper, and you can make the determination what to do with them after that. but sell an opening position as an apprenticeship. Okay, and they're going
to
learn.
I think an apprentice is somebody that wants to learn, and a helper is somebody that wants to help.
Well, look, a helper can move boxes and sweep a floor, maybe. Like, there's nowhere to advance. An apprentice is going to become the tradesman. So, like, sell the glamour, because even though what we do is hard and we get sweaty and gross and nasty, like, sell the beauty of it, okay? Some people go to work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, and from Monday to Friday, on Friday at 3 p.m., or, well, sorry, they work 9 to 5. At 5 p.m., the computer spits out a report, and they say, wow, look at what I accomplished in a week. Man, that sucks, okay? Not everybody can operate on that.
If you're living your life looking forward to Friday, your game is broken, bro. Like, you need to revamp your style.
Well, but my point is, like, okay, I get to go to work and, like, I get instant gratification, man. I can rip out a room full of carpet and tack strip. I'm like, sweet, I've done something.
Yeah.
I get the floor prepped. I made the next step happen. I got some flooring installed. I made the next step happen. I put up baseboard. I made the next step happen. People walk back in and see my project when they leave for 3 hours to, like, go to lunch and pick up their kids after school. And they come back and they say, oh my gosh. Like, dude, how is that not rewarding? I get instant gratification all day long. I'm not going to get that in a cubicle job Monday through Friday, pumping out reports and TPS reports. So,
nice office space reference.
Yes, exactly. There you go. The cool people will get it. What we do is cool. Stop selling it as, oh, it's hard and it's sweaty and you're going to have to, like, do things you hate. Dude, sell the cool parts of it. What's the matter with you? I don't want to do it either when you tell me it's hard. It is hard, but that's not the point.
No, and push the limits, too. Like, try new things. Don't just, if you walk in and you're putting in a three strip. Three strip laminate, like we used to do all the time. and you're doing a 10 by 10 bedroom every day. Like, you know, I can see it gets mundane, but, you know, try out some new floor coverings. Try out some new techniques. Go see what the next level up is doing and mm-hmm. surround yourselves by those people. You know, there's always something to learn.
Correct. I get laughed at sometimes because I do the walls. Other people think they're really cool. Like, I found something that I can market that pays the same as doing a floor for the day, because that's what I'm going to charge what I need to make in a day. So, now I get off my knees and I get to do some really cool wall coverings. I tell people to go shop for flooring at, like, Floor & Decor, because their floors suck, in my opinion, to put on a floor, but you don't use it as a floor on your wall. So it'll look great on there. Yeah. Let's do it. I try and sell my own product first, but, you know, hey. If they need more options, I don't care where they go. Like, right? Like, if you want to go buy your own product, I'll put it on a wall. It'll look great. Like, we can play with it and have fun doing it. But go find ways to get out of the box. Like, someone's going to have to pay you to do the first one, and you can use other people's pictures as doing it. I think I just saw somebody about doing their first you had commented somebody got their first scribe, you know, and charged like $200 for it, and you were like, I can't believe you got somebody to pay you for your first one. Well,
absolutely,
you can have the skills with never doing it.
Yes. Well, and so, like, you saw on that thread people commenting, you way undercharge. What do you mean you way undercharge? He didn't weigh under charge. He's trying it out and getting paid for his first one. Like, that's awesome. Correct. And I guarantee the people are saying you weigh under charge don't actually do any sort of scribing and don't actually post any of their work, because that seems to be the way of things when you criticize others online. But that's another story for another day.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Look, I'm going to get off my soapbox. We're going long, and I know that we could go. I know you and I could go for much, much longer. People don't want to hear us. Okay.
Hey, speak for yourself. I'm delightful. Damn it.
You may be delightful, but you know, look, I still got to come along all the time, and I got to put up them gifts of popping balloons. Okay. So I can pop your head. We got to keep you in line.
Oh man.
Yeah. All right. If people want to bother you and make you upset and tell you you suck, where can they get a hold of you?
Oh, I am available on all social platforms. You can feel free to send any hate mail to my inboxes or my cell phone or my email, ken@skyroflores.com. Cell is 609-276-1999. That's always growing up. Or you can find me in the trenches of our Facebook groups online.
Pick one. Almost and any I'm always, of them.
I'm always happy. I'm serious, though. I'm always happy to answer any questions or help out any way I can. And if I don't know the answer, then I hope I know where to find it.
I'm sure you will find it. And there's reps to help. Like, look, I give Ken a hard time. We've built a relationship. He's full of answers. I call him all the time. We bounce things back and forth. It's great. So if you truly do have a question, reach out to him. He will be the first guy to be happy to respond and help you through something. You know what he didn't mention? Go find him on TikTok and make him feel like he's like able to hang out with his teenage daughter a little better.
Oh God, I love you.
Yeah, I know I'm gonna get it. I've really built it up over this episode. I know that.
Oh, that's all right. It's always a pleasure. I love hanging out with you. I do still believe in you. I think what you do is great for the industry.
Awesome.
And
thank you.
You know, as always, you feel free to reach out anytime you need me, brother.
Will do. Same goes for anybody else, man. Review the podcast. It says it in the outro, but look, I'm happy to answer questions. You know, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, but I'm working on it. Maybe I get there, maybe I don't, but I'm happy to help you in any way I can. So reach out and we'll get you pointed in the right direction or hooked up with somebody that can help you. So awesome. Thank you for spending time with me. Go enjoy your family and your weekend.
Absolutely. You too, my friend.
All right. Bye. That's all the time we have for this week. To keep the conversation going, head on over to the Floor Academy Facebook group. Be sure to subscribe so you can hear each and every episode. We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and most major podcast directories. Don't forget to leave a review and let us know what you think about the show. If you would like to be a guest, have questions or feedback, you can email us at flooracademypodcast@gmail.com. You can help support the show by becoming a patron over at www.patreon.com/Floor Academy. Remember to learn while you earn.